What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
We will have the Tyreek Hill body cam footage, and that'll be coming up probably within the next 20 to 25 minutes before we get to the cut sheet. We'll get to Kamala's campaign website and the policies that were finally posted after 50 days. I'm guessing they were like, you know what? We've got a debate coming up against Donald Trump tonight. If we're going to post anything, now feels like the right time to do it. But let's get to the news before we get to all of that. Round number two at 7:03, the great Dawn Stenzelin.
And good morning. We are sponsored this Tuesday, debate day. We are sponsored in the news by Natural Lands. Let's get to it as we talk about the developing news of the day. This morning, we know that Philadelphia, there are first responders and crews who are on the scene of a car that plunged into the Schuylkill River. Police say a Jeep is submerged in the river right off Kelly Drive near Brewery Hill Drive. Philadelphia police called in the dive team. No word yet if anybody was rescued or recovered. This is at least the third time in the past month that a vehicle went into the Schuylkill River off Kelly Drive. So police reportedly never found the driver of that Mercedes-Benz that was seen backing into the river in the early hours of one morning in late August. And then a few weeks ago, a Range Rover rolled into the river right near the Strawberry Mansion Bridge in Fairmount Park. In that situation, the couple inside was not hurt. Police say the couple, they later admitted that they were making out and must have accidentally shifted the vehicle into gear and didn't realize it was slowly rolling into the river. I guess they thought the earth was moving.
Yeah.
Amid all that passion.
Imagine you're in a Range Rover. Wait, by the way, what's up with all these luxury vehicles going in?
Yeah.
Mercedes, Range Rover.
No, I hope they weren't Jeep today.
I hope they weren't from the Piazza Auto Group.
Yeah, right? Oops.
Jesus. You're bumping and grinding, and next thing you know, you're submerged in water.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, boy.
So police on the scene of that one. And, of course, the big story in Philadelphia that is making international and national news, it's billed as an historic night in Philadelphia. The current Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris, and former President Donald J. Trump will meet for the first time for perhaps the only debate. High-pressure opportunity to showcase what they've got to offer in this job interview, if you will, in tonight's debate. And so 9 p.m. Eastern, Philadelphia, offering Americans to watch, get some details, and we'll talk about it tomorrow morning. Obviously, it will be, you know, aired and it will be hosted by ABC News. But, of course, we here, Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, it will be streamed.
Yeah.
So you'll be able to see it, and it'll be on YouTube, right? Is that right, Greg?
Well, I mean, not on our YouTube, but it'll be on somewhere on YouTube.
ABC will probably stream it on digital, yeah. I got to wonder, too, if you think about these last few elections, what, Trump and Hillary had three or four debates. Joe and Trump had two. They were originally scheduled for three, but then there was the COVID factor, and now we're only going to get one. I mean, I know we always say, hey, have debates jumped the shark? I mean, they're dwindling election cycle by election cycle. You know, like, when we get to 2028 and 2032, what's it going to look like? They're happening less frequently. I don't like that.
Well, in this one, we saw history because it was the earliest presidential debate in our entire history of our nation.
Yeah, that's true.
That was in late June.
Yep.
And think about what has emerged and what has changed since late June until today, September 10th.
True.
It's mind-boggling.
Gun to your head. Let's all go on record here. Do we think we see another debate between Trump and Kamala after tonight? Will there be a second debate between them?
There should be.
Oh, yeah, there should be, but there's not going to be.
I agree.
I think it's weird that I did not realize that they've never met.
That's true. They have never been face-to-face in any setting.
So it's like a blind date or something.
Which I think actually is going to lead to more anxiety from Harris. I actually really think that the crowd would be beneficial to her. I think being out there in that isolated, quiet, soundproof studio could lead to a little indigestion for the Veep. Just a guess.
Yeah, I can't wait. That's why I can't wait, because you don't know what you'll see. But the problem is, what we see while we watch, mm-hmm. guaranteed it will be different from how it's reported.
Well, and think about this. What is the typical, whether it's scripted or if it's, you know, a subconscious thing? She laughs. She giggles. You know, like, I mean, how many times do we see it in public settings? Who's she going to be able to laugh with tonight and giggle with? It's her. It's Trump. It's two moderators and some camera people. That's it. I think that makes her uncomfortable. I really do.
Yeah, I agree. So that's just it. Because when you watch it, when you experience it, I think that there are those intangibles that matter.
Yep.
And that's why tonight does matter. Just a little nugget, a fact nugget for you, because this was a jobs report that came out on last Friday, and it really shows a picture, and these things are always put out there on Friday. But the Bureau of Labor Statistics, BLS, the data was released last Friday, talking about the number of part-time jobs rising to 527,000 in August. And so the Biden administration put out that, hey, they've created all these jobs. When you look at it, though, year to year, we as Americans in the United States have lost 1.02 million full-time jobs.
Oh, of course.
And so it's a part-time job. This is a part-time part-time economy, if you will.
Yeah, and then employers don't have to give their employees benefits. They can keep them under 32 hours, the whole bit. Yeah, it's all a ruse.
So fewer benefits, less overtime pay.
That's right.
Lower salaries, because it's not really a salary. Mm-hmm. It's hourly.
Yep.
And so that was a number. I just wanted to, you know, push that out there as just a fact nugget this morning, because it was something that kind of was not reported widely.
If I ruled the world, job reports would have to be released on a Tuesday or Wednesday. There would be no Friday dumps. Nope.
Well, maybe it'll be now since Greg Stocker loves Tuesday, as he says, I'll try to always look for a jobs report or an economic report for Tuesday.
Yeah, yeah.
Just for you.
Yeah, the Dawn Stensland Tuesday job report correction. It's a sponsorable segment. Let's get that to sales ASAP.
Amen, brothers. Going viral. This is a story that's going viral that I'll just headline for you. There are many reports about Ohio. And what's going on in Ohio, allegedly, now Greg Stocker said this is all fake news, but it is blowing up on Twitter for the past 23 hours.
Why are we reporting a fake story?
Because it's actually news.
News to who? Who's it news to?
Well, because there are, okay, first of all, the story is, allegedly.
I don't even know what the story is.
There are individuals in Ohio.
I'm proud of you for staying off Twitter.
There are individuals in Ohio who are allegedly killing anything from ducks that are like wild ducks or birds or people's pets, such as cats. And allegedly, they are immigrants. They're Haitian immigrants. Yeah. That's the alleged fake news story here.
So let's report it. Okay.
But the reaction to it, there are legit news sites, and one in particular in Ohio, that put out a picture of seagulls and then chicken, and said, for all you racists, Americans eat birds such as chicken. So what's the difference between apparently a duck or a seagull?
Okay. Well, to answer that specific
kind of
question,
a bizarre story.
I mean, I've never had a seagull. I've had rabbit.
Because it's illegal.
Okay.
It's illegal, like down the Jersey Shore. That's why they have to have birds of prey, like falcons.
Well, how would seagulls get to Ohio?
I have no idea. I have no idea. To Greg's point, it is one of the craziest stories I've ever seen.
So it's probably
crazy because it's not true.
So is it a video of a migrant doing something to a... Oh, okay.
I don't have any evidence.
Oh, okay.
There are people who claim they've seen it. There are residents of Ohio that are all upset about it. There are cat lovers now all over the internet talking about it. But it is one of those situations that it's important to watch.
Well, you know what?
If this is totally concocted,
yeah.
But what you need to watch are those so-called legit news organizations, and Ohio stations are covering it, and print media is covering it. And so it's important to look at how something like this starts,
yeah.
And then how it's reported upon.
Well, now you got my brain working here. You said cats in Ohio. I mean, this is a golden opportunity for J.D. Vance to redeem himself with the childless cat ladies.
Well, J.D. Vance has already discussed it or tweeted about it.
Oh, has he?
So he's yes. all over the.
Oh, so he took the bait on the fake story too?
Of course, because we're a stupid society.
I'm telling you, it's one of the nuttiest stories I've ever seen.
Right.
It's a case study for journalists to look at. And if somebody is just starting out in the business, it's important to look at that and to look at the origins of it and look at the way it's being reported.
Okay.
Right? Because it's okay to report it as a happening as in a newscast. It's okay as long as you...
Did it get community noted on X? Because I this is the first I'm hearing of any of this.
I don't see that it was community noted. And that's interesting too.
Okay.
But,
well, it can't be community noted because Elon Musk is also
pushing a fake story. Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Oh, all right.
Well, I don't know that he's... He is.
He tweeted about it.
But I'm...
yourself.
I always watch these things and I'm going to... So this one, for this one, there are conservatives going out saying this is terrible, et cetera, et cetera. So whether it's conservatives or liberals or whoever it is, I'm always going to just say it.
Okay.
But I personally do not have any confirmation from any authorities or police at a local level who've said, we are investigating this. We found dead animal, you know,
right.
Whatever.
All right, I'm done with this dumb story. I want to know what happened here with... So apparently the stream went down. The YouTube stream went down. Now it's back up.
Okay.
So if you're listening on the Odyssey app and you were on YouTube, we are... we are back up on YouTube, youtube.com/@
Because I was talking about the crazy pussycat story.
YouTube flagged you for reporting fake news.
Maybe. But I reported it as potential fake news.
I got you.
So that's important, too.
All right.
What is true is that the four-person Polaris Dawn mission launched early this morning with the goal of making some space flight history. So Polaris Dawn, which aims to conduct the first ever private spacewalk, lifted off atop the SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket today, 5:23 a.m. from a historic launch complex. This is NASA's Kennedy Space Center. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
And hosted most of NASA's Apollo moon launches, where the last crewed missions to fly as far as the Polaris Dawn astronauts will travel. So these are private individuals, including a billionaire. I don't know. It's a pretty cool story that they're, you know, it's a manned space mission.
Would you ever want to go into space?
Absolutely.
If offered the opportunity?
Yes.
Really? See, 100%. I'm terrified of heights and everything like that. So I couldn't do it. But I know there's some people out there that find that interesting. I can't do it.
No, I would love it.
I can do airplanes.
I think it's amazing.
I can do airplanes. I can't do roller coasters, and I'm not doing space shuttles.
I think it's amazing, and we were talking about it last night. My son said, what is this? Why is it that they're going to Mars and seeing if we could ever live on another planet? And I said, well, it could be a plan B.
Yeah.
You know, things don't go well here.
Yeah,
I know
people are they're infatuated with life on other planets.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure out what makes people tick on this planet. I feel like I haven't mastered Earth yet to worry about Mars, Venus, and Uranus. Left the joke in there.
So I know. So enough of all of that. We'll watch it. We'll follow it. Polaris Dawn taking, you know, safe liftoff this morning. We're sponsored by Natural Lands this morning. You know, a monarch caterpillar. Remember that little book for your kids, the Hungry Caterpillar?
I do.
It's 200 times its weight before it transforms into a butterfly. And the only plant it eats is milkweed. Natural Lands nature preserves are filled with meadows of milkweed, and happy monarchs learn more You can learn at more at natlands.org, natlands.org, natural lands, land for life, nature for all. Since I started reporting on this sponsor, I've looked everywhere for this plant. Can't find it. Milkweed.
Really?
Nobody sells it.
Oh, it's this time. It's all. Well, we're in September now. If you need ragweed, I got plenty of ragweed out there for you.
But they only eat milkweed.
Yeah.
I can't find it. Nobody has it.
All right.
So we got that.
My wife bought an aloe plant. Speaking of plants, by the way, got an aloe plant in the house now.
Nice.
Yeah. For my daughters always get like these brush burns from dance. Put a little real authentic aloe on it. Feels better. Soothes.
Nice. That's good stuff.
There you go.
Pure. And tonight we have our fills. So we won. We beat the Rays. Pretty exciting last night, beating the Rays 2-1, facing the Rays tonight and tomorrow night. Ranger Suarez on the mound tonight, by the way, and another gorgeous night for it. We're in the 80s all week, summer-like week, as we're mid-80s, low humidity, bright sunshine. And then for the weekend, warming up to 86-plus degrees this weekend, but that humidity remains low, a stunning time of the year. Kale and Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 7:18 as we continue here on this Tuesday. So Kamala Harris has officially posted her policies to her campaign website. I want to save this story for the cut sheet. When we get to a cut that involves the debate, I will unveil these policies for you mid-cut sheet. But up on the other side, I do want to get to the Tyreek Hill body cam footage, because I think this is a very fascinating story that we need to pick apart straw by straw, so to speak. And we will do that on the other side. 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in. It's Kale and Company as we continue here on this Tuesday morning on Talk Radio 1210. WPHT.
I'm ready for more NFL, and FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook, is continuing its special offer to keep us watching more. Now through September 22nd, all FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get a three-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. Then, with a YouTube TV base plan, you'll be able to watch every regular season Sunday afternoon out-of-market game. All you need is a Google account and a current form of payment, and you can cancel any time. All you have to do is go to FanDuel.com/Greg's, FanDuel.com/Greg right now to download America's number one sportsbook. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 1210 WPHT. 21 and over, present in Pennsylvania. First online full price of NFL Sunday Ticket will be automatically charged seasonally after free trial. No refunds, terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Charlie's in Philadelphia, and he's got a question about Dawn. Charlie, you go right ahead.
Yeah, she mentioned something about not being able to find anything about milkweed. There's a supplement called milk thistle. It's great for your liver. I mean, I was drinking real heavy. My liver was shot, and I took it a month later. I got retested. My blood was fine. The doctor couldn't believe it. It's called milk thistle, T-H-I-S-T-L-E, I believe it's spelled.
I'm taking notes here because you said drinking and liver, milk thistle. This is right up. This call is actually for me.
I'm just saying it's real good for your liver. If you're drinking a lot, it's the best thing in the world for you. And it's available in like any store, Rite Aid or anywhere, has milk thistle in the vitamin section.
Dawn, have you ever heard of milk thistle?
No, milk thistle.
Milk thistle?
But I was specifically, because of the Natural Lands, as one of our sponsors, they say that for monarch butterflies, make sure you have this milkweed, which is a flower, but nobody has it.
Interesting.
So I don't know if milk thistle is, you know, is that something butterflies eat too? They've got good livers. We know that.
No, there you go. All right. Speaking of drinking heavily, I think Ed and Del Ran probably drinks heavily because of Joe Biden's policies. Ed and Del Ran is with us. What's going on this morning, Ed?
Listen, you got to listen to Nick, Dawn, and Greg, because this debate is going to be great. It's going to be like fate. You're going to pick your four-leaf clover when it's over, because this woman is going to dive bomb big time.
Are you reading from a prepared script?
No, it's all in my head. I rehearsed it while I was on hold because I'm not out the cold.
All right. Well, I mean, you can memorize things just like Kamala can.
Oh, yes, I can.
Attaboy.
Hey, I got one more thing you got to hear, and that is that Joe Biden, and I told you this before, on the 19th or the 20th, will be pardoning his son because he's got nothing to lose from it.
The 19th or 20th of January?
January 2025, because let me tell you something. This woman here is a freaking kook, and it's on display for everyone to see, and tonight will be no exception.
Yeah, I agree. There's no doubt that Joe, no matter how many times he has said he will not pardon or commute Hunter's sentence, I mean, I first of all, I don't believe him. But secondly, when you're on your way out the door, what the heck do you care about the public backlash anyway, right? I mean, you're going to be 82 years old. You're going to spend your remaining time hanging out in Delaware at the beach. And you're not even paying attention to the news cycle or social media for sure. I don't think Joe even knows how to use an iPhone at this point. You think he cares about what the public perception is of, you know, pardoning his baby boy? So I totally agree. I think he absolutely plans on doing that. I wouldn't. I mean, I know Dawn and Greg would pardon their children. We've discussed this before. If our kids were murderers on the run, I would hand my kid in a heartbeat. I'm not protecting them. You make that mistake, it's on you. All right.
He's totally going to. You would absolutely.
Zero chance I would ever. I didn't pardon my daughters last night from their room.
Please.
Wife sent them upstairs. I said, serve your time.
Please.
You did the time. You do the crime, you do the time. I'm a law and order guy, Dawn.
You're a law and order guy because your wife disciplined your daughters and you backed her up.
That's correct. She made the arrest. I issued the sentence. All right, let's get to the Tyreek Hill story. I find this to be fascinating. This happened on Sunday. For those of you that are not paying attention, this is a very big story, probably the second or third biggest story right now, behind, obviously, the debate stuff. So Sunday morning, I actually watched some of the Sunday morning news shows, and then right around 10:45 or so, I put on one of the NFL pregame shows, and then I saw the news come across that the Miami Dolphins star receiver, who used to play for Andy Reid in Kansas City before they traded him, Tyreek Hill, was pulled over in a traffic stop for basically reckless driving. And we'll give you the specific charges and the details in just a moment. And he was pretty much right outside of the complex, you know, where you pull into the public parking lot and where the players go. You can see the stadium in the background, another beautiful day in South Florida, the whole bit, right? So he gets pulled over, and then somebody was driving by, just a spectator, started to record, and then they posted about a 50-second video on social media. And I saw this from Stephen A. Smith, who tweeted, "Look for yourself. This is BS. Totally unnecessary. And by the way, I know the Scottie Scheffler incident was in Georgia, not Florida, and he was arrested, detained, booked. I also know we don't know all the details, blah, 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 blah." That's him actually saying blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. "But he wasn't face down on the ground in cuffs, then forcibly sat down again by officers a second time. Nah, this story isn't going away, and it doesn't need to." So I saw that, and I immediately, after watching the video, tweeted at Stephen A. Smith. I said, "So you admit to not knowing all the details, yet you continue to speak ignorantly on the incident based on a 50-second clip on social media. You should read your colleague Jeff Darlington's post before being a race baiter. Perhaps, just perhaps, Hill didn't follow the protocol, he didn't listen to the officers, etc., but that probably won't fit the agenda tomorrow on MSESPN." To which, of course, Stephen A. Smith was community noted, because Scottie Scheffler's incident was not in Georgia. It was in Kentucky, which is where the PGA Championship was. We talked about that when Scottie Scheffler got arrested for basically the same thing. Driving recklessly, not listening to an officer, entering your workplace for the day, so to speak, and then you were dealt with. And I knew this would happen. This is exactly what happens. Now Jemele Hill comes out suggesting that Tyreek Hill's incident is a warning about the future of America under Donald J. Trump. She tweets, "A reminder that Stephen Ross, owner of the Miami Dolphins, is a huge Donald Trump supporter. The same Trump who supports giving all police immunity from prosecution. Do with that what you will." So let me get this straight. So Jemele Hill makes it about Trump, which it's not. And then, oh, by the way, when you bring in an NFL owner who's, by the way, I would guess, this is total spitballing here by me, I don't know, 25, 26 owners out of 32 in the NFL, probably Republican, probably conservative, probably Trump supporters. Just a guess. I could be slightly off. I could be way off. But do you really think that Stephen Ross, the owner of the Miami Dolphins, who's a Trump supporter, wants to see his star wide receiver, who's probably maybe one of the five best exciting players in the entire sport, arrested? Like, That's the conclusion you arrive at. You always make it about Trump or political or about race. So I want to play you the body cam footage because I wanted to wait until the actual officer body cam footage was released to the public, not what some numbnuts on social media posted of 50 seconds out of probably a 23-minute altercation. And then we'll give you some takeaways, observations, and reactions. I watched this last night. I got a couple of things to say, but let's play it first. You can watch along on YouTube right now, youtube.com/@1210WPHT.
You're probably going to have to narrate a little bit, too, as it's happening, because the very beginning is just audio.
Yeah, yep. There's visual, I mean. And I believe there's some expletives. It's maybe 2.5-3 minutes long. Yeah. Here is the official body cam footage from Miami-Dade Police. Take a listen and watch this. All right. He's behind the big sports car. Beautiful vehicle.
It's a nice car. I was just going to say that.
Should be for $130 million. Traffic, four motorcycle cops. Window is down of Tyreek Hill. Now he's putting his tinted window back up.
Keep your window down.
Officer's looking around for his backup.
Hey, keep your window down. Keep your window down. I'm going to get you out of the car.
Should have kept his window
down. As a matter of fact, get out of the car. Get out of the car.
Give me a fight the window.
Get out of the car. Get out of the car right now. We're not playing this game. Get out. Get out.
Opens
get out.
The door.
What are the cops supposed to do?
Get out. Get out.
Pulls him out.
Get out. What part of God don't you understand?
Down on the ground.
Hey, Drew, I'm getting arrested, Drew.
Drew Rosenhaus is Tyreek Hill's agent.
I'm getting arrested, Drew. I'm getting out, bro. God damn, twin.
When we tell you to do something, you do it.
I'm getting
you understand?
Up. I'm getting out.
You understand? Not what you want, but what we tell you.
I'm getting
you're
out.
A little confused.
I'm getting out, bro.
A little effing confused.
All right, bro. Take me to jail, bro. Do what you got to do, bro.
We are. We will.
Good, bro.
It is good.
Hey, Drew. Hey.
Don't worry about it. I hung up the phone. You stop crying.
Bro. Y'all.
Good.
Bro, you beating on my window like you crazy.
Set him up.
Why y'all beating on my window like y'all crazy for? Damn, yo. Bro, dude beating on my window like he crazy. I ain't do nothing, twin.
Now another NFL player of the Dolphins shows up. You'll see the SUV. There it is.
Hey.
You can see the stadium in the background. I mean, he's right there, basically.
Hold on, bro. I just had surgery on my knee. Bro.
They sit him down on the curb.
I just had surgery on your ears when we thought they were with you.
Surgery on your ears.
Hey, call Drew.
Cops telling the other player to step back.
Call Drew, bro. Call Drew, bro.
Officer telling the, I think that's an offensive lineman to back up.
Hey, yeah. Listen, hey, man, they got Tyreek. The cops over here beating on him, man. They over here beating on Tyreek,
man. Listen, big man, don't park there, man. Just get it.
Two players in what looks like a Range Rover.
Right on the side,
Hey, get in the car. You're parked at the middle of the street.
Who's the big guy?
I don't know his name, but I would guess he's a lineman. He's a big boy.
This is my car.
All right, move. You got to move right now. Coming, man. Let me have your license. You're going to have to get to.
I'm coming.
Let me have your license. You're going to have to. Let me have your license.
I'm leaving.
I'm not playing. Let me have your license.
I'm leaving. Yo, what's
your license
on?
Right now.
Sir, what's going on,
your license
man?
Right now. You're not going to give me your license?
You're not going to give me your license? I'm leaving.
Let me have your license.
Leaving,
your license right now. Hey, your license right now.
I'm leaving.
Or I'm going to lock you up. Your license right now.
And this happened right outside the
stadium.
The stadium. And they originally pulled him over for what?
Reckless driving.
Okay.
Driving is, high-end sports car probably way too wildly.
Well, they can't play the race card because the cops appear to be Hispanic.
I was just going to say both officers are Latino.
Yeah.
You have the one officer. If you see, his hands are completely tattooed. I don't know if he is a part of one of those high violence police, you know, gang units, or if he's just a patrol officer. But he is absolutely a guy that takes no guff, and I like that. I had a couple of takeaways from watching that last night. First of all, failure to comply is not acceptable. It is. I want to be crystal clear for everybody listening, and I think most people listening understand this. It is not optional to do what an officer asks.
Amen.
You roll the window down. Mm-hmm. You get out of the car. You provide your ID, your license, your insurance, etc. If you do what they ask, you will be fine.
Yep.
If you are not mouthy, you will be fine. Now, that officer certainly had a mouth, but I'm not offended by words, nor did he say anything remotely offensive. Do what they say and you are good. You know, law enforcement, when you are in that situation with completely darkened out tinted windows, they have the right to make sure that they, as officers, are protected from any ill will or sinister intentions you might have. That officer has no idea that he's Tyreek Hill. That officer has no idea on the other side of tinted windows if you have a gun or a knife in the console. And it appears, as you said, that both officers are Hispanic or Latino. So the media is not going to be able to say, oh, the white cop and the black suspect. Doesn't apply here. Number three, I do think to some extent, and it's worth noting, that the tense nature of the officer didn't help the situation. I thought it's funny you should have had surgery on your ears. I don't think he necessarily remained calm, which might have slightly made it worse, but it's really a big nothing burger if I'm being completely honest. I'm not sure if that is a rookie patrol officer, a young pup, or, you know, whatever it is, but he's not dealing with any guff. And I like that. And I like the fact that, again, when he asked what I believe is the offensive lineman. I think that's the left tackle for the Dolphins, but I could be wrong. Don't quote me on that. He asked multiple times for license. This is not optional. This is not, hey, would you please? No. I'm telling you, I'm the boss here. I want to know who you are. And this is not nearly the same story it is, because we've now seen this twice in the last 2 months. Once, as I mentioned with Stephen A. Smith bringing up the Scottie Scheffler arrest. So you have a white golfer in Louisville right at the entrance of the PGA Championship. And now we see the same exact thing with Tyreek Hill as he enters the Dolphins facility on game day. In fact, I would argue Scottie Scheffler had it worse, because he was actually arrested, booked, thrown in a holding cell, and had to stretch in a jail cell and then get released. And then he goes out and shoots a 65 like it was no big deal. So I think those are my big takeaways, but I also think, and this is for athletes, celebrities, musicians, actors, actresses, countless times these people think they are above the law. They are not, nor should they be.
I have a couple of points. First of all, would these officers have acted differently if it was Lionel Messi? Isn't that his name, Messi?
Yeah, the soccer player?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think they would have acted differently, and I think they would have treated these NFL stars differently. They're right outside a stadium. Were they de-escalating? And the reason I say all of this is because I'll take you back to Philadelphia. We learned last May that Pennsylvania State trooper who was caught on a viral video arresting the two Philadelphia LGBTQ plus officials from the spring, that Pennsylvania State police officer is no longer employed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, lost his job, but what he did was technically by the book.
Yeah.
Where when you, the bigger issue is when you have somebody who pulls over and basically comes up from behind on an officer, as you saw the fellow players of Tyreek do, that's a real problem. And so I'm glad that there was at least one officer who was de-escalating much more than the one guy who was more of a, hey, you're going to comply right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad for that, because I thought for a moment there, you just thought, this could go very badly.
Yeah.
And so whenever, it's important to know that they're trained that if somebody else pulls over, especially in this situation, the other player in that big SUV, he doesn't even go to the side of the road. He's in the road.
Yeah, in two lanes.
Crooked.
Yeah, parked crooked, correct.
And he gets out, door open, because these guys, I mean, you talk about, do you know who I am? These guys are the epitome of, you know, a very big deal. They're superstars, yeah, and they're coddled athletes. Mm-hmm. And so they're like, they're in their, you know, million-dollar outfits and their gold watches and diamond rings. And they're about to go, they're hyped up to play.
Yes.
And so these guys are like, you're kidding me, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what you're seeing. So
He was yanked to the ground.
I mean, like, the first
he was sat forcibly.
The first mistake he made was when they said, take down your window or put down your window. He should have.
Yes.
He should have complied.
Right.
The end.
Yeah.
And when he wouldn't, then they had no choice but to get him out of the car.
Citizens don't control the crime scene. Officers do.
Well, and in Philadelphia, Nick, that the officer here got fired.
I know. And this guy and these officers will probably be placed as protocol on administrative leave. I'd like to think they don't get fired. I don't see any reason why they should be fired on this specific. And I know you're bringing up the Philadelphia case as a precedent, but my God, I mean, and it's the officer's job to get the situation under control. And if I ask you to get out and you don't get out, I might ask you a second time.
So here's the deal.
But I'm not asking you a third time.
Either we want law enforcement to pull people over who are driving erratically, etc., or we don't pull them over and we record them and fine them via license plate.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's got to choose.
Right.
You can't say case by case, oh, well, one who, you know, pulled over the LGBTQ plus person and then followed all the proper protocols.
Oh, yeah.
That guy is going to lose his job and be defamed in the media and all of that.
Yep.
But these guys don't. That's not. So either you retrain or you differently train, or you just decide, you know what? We're not going to pull people over anymore.
Tom on the YouTube chat writes, you have rights for someone who believes in the Constitution. This is a bad take.
So he's in
nobody felt threatened, and all the guns were holstered.
All right, so I'm trying to make is that in defense of Tyreek Hill?
In defense of putting a lot of blame on the cops.
I see. Other than a few snarky remarks from the officer, you know, like maybe you should have had surgery on your ears. I don't really think he did anything remotely wrong.
The one officer is a little he and I don't know how long this was going on either. At the point that we see the video, but there was one officer, the initial officer, who's definitely more of a triggered. He's not de-escalating.
No.
I'm not saying.
Well, that's what I said. Yeah, he didn't do anything to help the situation, but there was nothing physical as far as violation of your rights. You rolled up the window. We asked you to get out. You didn't get out, and then we opened up the door, or maybe it was Hill that actually opened the door, and they pulled him out. I'm fine with that. I have no issue with that whatsoever.
I don't know what I genuinely don't know what what their training is, but I'm simply saying, if I'm in law enforcement, and because we see this and we have a defund the police movement and we have a need to hire law enforcement, figure it out, people.
No, what's
in other words, from the aspect of the city, is Miami going to stand behind these officers and say this is how they were trained?
I think they're already put on desk
they're
duty.
Already on desk duty.
Yeah.
But I believe that's standard.
Yeah,
I believe that when you have a viral video and everybody knows who you are, that it's standard operating procedure. But for me personally, when I look at these situations and I think about that Pennsylvania State Trooper who I personally know people who know him who say this guy was at the top of his class. He did everything by absolute protocol. He did everything the way he was trained. And I suspect that that's what these officers are going to say.
Yeah.
So we as a country have to look at this and say, okay, do we want law enforcement to come up and go,
yeah,
excuse me, sir, I really need you to roll down your window.
Yeah,
and
I'm
nice.
Done. I'm done with the post George Floyd experiment. You had your fun. You got your little out of your system. Here's the deal. Don't break the law.
Yeah, that's
don't break the law.
There was a real sense of entitlement from Tyreek Hill in that whole
whole
situation. And I feel like, you know, if you're being pulled over for some little infraction or something like that, just comply and just don't play do you know who I am? And like, this is, I'm on the phone with my agent you know, you're going to all pay for this. It's like, oh God.
I'm so tired of these people. Oh, my rights. You couldn't cite the Bill of Rights and the first 10 amendments if I gave you 18,000 chances.
The cops don't know what they're getting. He has tinted windows.
Yes.
His windows are up. They don't know what he's doing.
They don't know if he has a firearm.
Exactly.
And they don't even know that's Tyreek Hill.
100%. 100%.
So the bottom line with this then is that because the way that, you know, he now with his agent, he goes on, like you said, with Caitlin and he's on CNN, he's claiming his rights were violated.
Yeah, yeah.
So is the union standing behind him? Because, again, here in Pennsylvania, our state trooper, who didn't even really manhandle, if you will, the suspects in this case, here locally, didn't even do that much, lost his job.
And not that it really matters, because you can separate the two, but just Google Tyreek Hill's rap sheet. The guy's got a history.
I was going to ask you about
felony
that.
Domestic assault, battery by strangulation.
Nick, he did nothing violent, though. He just was saying, bro, what are you doing, or something.
Right.
He didn't, I mean, none of the players did anything but kind of, they're on the phone going, what are you doing?
But
I just don't know why he never said, sir, I'm about to play football. I'm a player and I'm on my way to my job.
Well,
based
on what little evidence we have of that officer is probably going to be like, I don't give a damn who you are. Based on the way he's acted so far, that cop's not playing any games.
Yeah.
And by the way, too, that's a rough area. So those officers that pulled Tyreek Hill over are probably dealing with a lot of guff on a daily basis.
To be honest with you,
they're not in Bluebell, PA.
To be honest with you guys, as soon as he pulled up his windows and were tinted and wouldn't put them down, he's lucky the cops didn't draw on him.
Yeah.
Because they don't know what's on the other side.
Right. Right. Nobody ever thinks about that, though.
Nobody ever thinks about that. So, it's like, well, he's a black man being treated unfairly. Oh, please.
Yeah.
But
what's his salary, Nick Hale?
He's got like a 4-year, $130 million contract. I mean, he was the third pick in my fantasy draft. He's a great player.
I know how good he is.
Yeah.
Most of the
audience probably has no idea who Tyreek Hill is, but like, you know, again. Number one, don't break the law. Number two, comply. And then if you do, you're in that stadium in about 15 minutes, and you're probably not even given a traffic citation.
Yeah. You know, I will tell you, like in television and network news, they send a driver for you, and they drive you there so that these things don't happen, that they control your transport to work. And so I would just suggest that maybe that should be part of their biggity big NFL contract or some of these, even Scotty the golfer, just, you know, put it in their contract and negotiate that you send the vehicle and that they're driven to their job, because obviously these people, they're rushing in, they're speeding, they're doing whatever, and they can't be responsible to drive themselves into their jobs. And so why not just, if I'm with the NFL, that's what I'm doing.
Oh, somebody's Nick Hale, somebody on the YouTube chat accusing you of sounding racist.
Good. Keep firing away. Have a blast.
It's unbelievable.
It's backing law enforcement for doing their job. Look, this is not fifth grade. Okay, like when I was a juvenile detention facility officer, I was told, you do not allow these kids to dictate the circumstances. You get your unit under control. Same thing when you're an officer out on the street or you're on patrol. It's about bringing, forget law and order, it's about putting the power back into the people that hold that power. Tyreek Hill is a citizen, okay? Listen to what the officer says. It's not optional. This is not multiple choice. Do it or be dealt with.
But Nick,
period.
I'm telling you, this officer, we need to follow this, because in Pennsylvania, the state trooper quietly, just a few months later, was no longer employed by the Pennsylvania State Police.
Yeah, I know. That's wrong.
So with this officer, will he be criticized or even will they be thrown under the bus for not de-escalating? Because I would love to hear from somebody at the Pennsylvania State Police level.
Yes, I would love to hear from a police officer right now.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of them can't call in because of who they are.
You could use a different name.
Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, too, you're driving a $200,000 sports car. It sticks out like a sore thumb. So maybe just do the speed limit. I don't know. Again, I don't know what he was doing as far as reckless. Was he not signaling? Was he swerving like he's, you know, driving in the Daytona 500? I have no idea. But when you're driving a Lamborghini or whatever that vehicle is, and all of a sudden you're not adhering to the traffic rules and you're an officer on a bike, you're like, brrr, you fire up the, I mean, that's a, I'm like, my God, why don't you just say, hey, officer, I'm breaking the law. I mean, it's not like he's driving a 97 Ford Taurus.
Yeah.
But I want to know at what point, who came? Did the agent show up? Because he keeps talking about his agent. They were all calling their agents.
Rosenhaus. Well, he represents a bunch of players.
So did their agent actually show up or call somebody that he knows?
No, Rosenhaus was at the stadium by like 11:15.
By the way, I have Tyreek Hill was on with Caitlin Collins. I was like, I have that. We're way over.
All right, so let's break. We'll come back. We'll officially fire up the cut sheet, and then we'll hear the Rodney King tour that Tyreek Hill's on with Caitlin Collins. His rights were violated. Yes. Fire all the cops and lock them up.
Plus, I have all the debate stuff. Don't worry. We're all over it.
I love it. Back after this on Kale and Company. But first, a word from the Piazza Auto Group. Now, look, we're talking about Piazza Mazda right now, the CX-30 2024. Here's my advice. Don't drive it like your Tyreek Hill on game day. That's right. The 2024 CX-30 offers 8 different trim levels, which creates the perfect fit for every lifestyle. Maybe even if you're an NFL wide receiver. And when it comes to performance, iActive all-wheel drive, that is standard. And the available turbocharged engine packs a surprising punch. It's like Tyreek Hill on a 40-yard Hail Mary. Safety features such as blind spot monitoring, lane assist LED, which are going to get you a 5-star overall safety rating. Because that's what it's all about, right? Not about the fast car. Sure, it's about fuel and mileage, but it's about safety. If you're looking for something that you'll feel safe in, your family will feel safe in, with a nice price tag, check it out today. The 2024 Mazda CX-30. It's available in Westchester, Reading, or online. PiazzaMazda.com.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
And now we find out what Greg Stocker has lined up for What's on the Cut Sheet.
What's on the Cut Sheet?
What's on the Cut Sheet on this Tuesdays brought to you by Cherry Hill Volvo. Enjoy back-to-school savings on a 36-month lease of a 2024 front-wheel drive S60 for $369 per month, down payment, registration fee, and taxes due at inception. Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter. Thank you, Cherry Hill Volvo, for sponsoring What's on the Cut Sheet. So, yes, you're right. Tyreek Hill now doing his tour, making his tour for all the outlets that will have him. And CNN, of course, said, come on down! He was on with Caitlin Collins last night. Starting here, Captain Kirk, with cut number 19. This is Tyreek Hill on with Caitlin Collins last night. Cut 19, Kirk, go. Works like a charm, doesn't it?
Is that a new system?
It's amazing. It's just amazing. It's just amazing. All right, I will play cut 19, so start the video over. Cut 19, go.
Obviously, watching that video, I just when you watched it back for the first time, tell me what was going through your mind in those moments.
Man, for real, you know, I was shocked, man. Like it's crazy because it all happened so fast, man. But like for me, man, like it just all happened so fast, and I really couldn't like gather everything that was happening. So it was crazy. You know, and me being a father, me being a husband and all that, man, I was just putting myself in that situation like, hey, I got to be smart. You know what I'm saying? That's where I wasn't on that kind of energy. Like, I was chilling. Like, I was following rules. You know what I'm saying?
No,
I wasn't moving fast because, you know, I got injuries. You feel me? I got things that I go through. I play a physical sport.
Oh.
I've been doing this for a moment now, man. So I'm dealing with some stuff. So I guess the officers, they felt like I wasn't doing it on their timing, but I was doing it. But you know, man, I'm still kind of shell shocked from it, man. And
yeah.
I'm embarrassed, you know. But
you know, for a man who runs a 4.240, he sure moves slowly when asked to get out of a vehicle. That's number one. Number two, you weren't following the rules. First of all, you weren't driving within the legal requirements. That's why they initially pulled you over. Then you rolled up your window. You didn't roll it down when they asked. And also, you did not get out of the vehicle, which then that forced them to pull you out of the vehicle, and your buddy on the team didn't want to show his license after being asked, I don't know, 12 different times.
I doubt he had his license on him.
Of course.
Well, then that's also his fault.
I doubt
that's
any of these guys, they're not accustomed. These are people, since they were probably in eighth grade, were superstars and were treated differently. And so I doubt they have a wallet on them or a driver's license.
No, I mean, okay, that still doesn't, that's not a legal defense,
but
right?
Legally, okay, I'm just going to say, legally, you don't have to show your ID.
Okay.
You don't have to. That's, legally, you don't.
Hmm.
By the way,
just to clarify that, for those of you who are sovereign and that whole thing.
Stan Smith writes to us on Twitter, Nick, says, Hill did nothing violent because the cops were men.
did the cops do anything? I'm just this is a guy who plays a violent sport. Was there anything remotely physical and violent and over the top about what those officers did? Who, oh, by the way, you know, Tyreek Hill's a pretty big, I mean, he's short, but he's still a pretty carved out dude. So, you know, they pulled him out of the vehicle, to which Stephen A. Smith says this was a dehumanizing event. So here's what I'll tell you. You know what? I think they would really hope, and I say they, the mainstream media and Democrats, they would love for this to have been white officers and would have loved for Tyreek Hill to have been physically assaulted, because they would have had their George Floyd of 2020. And they didn't get that this time around.
100% right.
So, well, and that was because with
the Harris campaign would love this.
Yeah, but with Scotty, the golfer, the white dude who later apologized, mm-hmm. I mean, like, to your point, he was in the orange jumpsuit, he was fingerprinted, mugshotted.
Yeah.
Nobody really talked about it.
In a jail cell.
And he was put in a jail cell.
He and Trump both in an orange jumpsuit.
No. But I would love to hear from somebody, even if you call in, use a different name, is the initial officer who says, all right, that's it. And he pulls open that door and yanks him out of there in that motion. Mm-hmm. Is that going to get that particular officer in trouble for not de-escalating and say, sir, right. I need your identity. I want to make sure, was there a moment as far as this? And I'm just trying to take it from, because I don't want these officers to get fired.
No, of course not. And you heard the officer say, and this is the game that has been played for the last 4 years. You heard that officer say, we're not playing this game today. We're not doing this. You're going to dance around and try to negotiate with me. We've seen this in shoplifting incidents in a mall or in a retail place where an officer is ready to detain you and the suspect is putting on a facade. No, we're not going to do this. You're going to provide me either ID or I'm going to arrest you. You're going to, if I say I'm going to handcuff you and detain you, it's not on your time, buddy. I'm the boss here. I want to be clear about that. It is not optional for these people to say, well, okay, you can take me downtown when I've had my fun and games and I'm done recording on TikTok. No, I'm done with it. This is the police are in charge, not Johnny come lately. I'm so sick of it. If anybody else has something to say, it's fine, but I'm done with it.
And is this if this happened to me or somebody who's not as big as these big men, because I always think there is a big man, little man thing going on. So these cops in particular, they're not big guys or comparatively to the men they're pulling over.
Well, I would argue that those cops were way bigger than Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill's like 5'8".
Well, maybe next to the other guy.
I mean, he's carved out of stone. Don't get me wrong, but
they don't look like big guys.
Can we go back and play the footage? I mean, those two Latino officers look like I wouldn't mess with them.
I mean, they're muscular.
I don't know if they're muscular. They just look physically big.
Really,
6'2", 230 maybe. No. Can we play the video again, or at least get a still shot?
I think we're asking too much. We're asking too much. We can't even get the audio correct. Let's continue with the Tyreek Hill interview on with Caitlin Collins last night. Cut 20. Go.
Well, and when you watch it,
here we are.
Can you tell us what happened with the moment with? You didn't see it there in the video, but you're in the car. They're yelling at you to roll your window down. What was happening there?
You know what? When the officer came up and knocked on my window. I let my window down, cooperated, gave him my ID, and then I immediately let up my window. And then after that, I let back up my window, and then he came back to the window and was like, let your window down now, let your window down now. And then I let it down. That's when he said, if you don't let your window down, I'm going to snatch you out of the car. I was like, sir, my window is down. Like, what do you want? I'm not trying to cause a scene because, A, if I let my window down, like, people walking by, driving by, they're going to notice that it's me, and they're going to
take pictures. He played that card.
Yeah.
He played that card.
Right, because the officer should know that you had knee surgery. By the way, the officers don't care that you had knee surgery. Not a factor in the situation whatsoever.
So wait, he's saying, because he said at least once he was embarrassed, so what he he's saying is it's humiliating and embarrassing to be pulled over. So the reason that he doesn't want people to photograph him, he feels embarrassed, like ashamed, like he's being profiled.
Right.
Like, that's the narrative.
Yeah, I also love the "I'm a husband, I'm a father" line in the first clip that we played. I gave you his rap sheet. Okay, not the most savory character when it pertains to his female companionship.
How many kids does he have, by the way?
That I don't know.
Well, good for him. There was a story.
I don't know if this. You can Google this, and I could check it myself. I could be wrong. So let me just say I don't know the facts 100% on this part. But I'm almost certain that there was an issue with one of the children where he might have broken the kid's arm. Don't quote me on that. It might be a different player. But you can look at him. Just Google Tyreek Hill arrest history or something. Yeah, he's not Mother Teresa.
Let me keep going.
Not that that should matter. By the way, you can separate his past transgressions. That has that should not factor into this isolated incident. I want to be clear about that.
Let me keep going.
Driving by, they're going to notice that it's me, and they're going to start taking pictures. And I didn't want to create a scene at all. Like, I just really wanted to get the ticket and then just go on about my way and then just, you know, just have a great Sunday. You know what I'm saying? Because really, like, I really could have just kept going to the stadium, but I really just pulled to the side, you know, just chilling. Because I was that close to the stadium. Like, I was that close to, like, our entry level on, like, I was that close to the player's entry level. And then from that moment, the guy came from the back. He was like, hey, get out. He was like, hey, I'm about to snatch you out the car or whatever. You know what I'm saying? And then it just all unfolded from there because I was going to get out of my car. You know what I'm saying? Because they told me to get out. Because I was getting out my car, but the way that my car made is like a dip inside of McLaren 720S.
Yeah. Well, it happened.
So he was just chilling, but yet he was driving presumably well over the speed limit. He's charged, I believe, with it's reckless driving. And then you're going to sit there and talk about, you know, your how did he phrase that? Can we go back? I know we have all this video and it's difficult with the new system. I just want to hear that again because you're talking about I'm drawing a blank now. I got to hear this again.
Earlier this
year, I'm going to bust up everything he says.
Earlier this year, amid a divorce, he was accused in a domestic dispute, apparently of having domestic troubles, but it was amid a divorce. And I don't really see I don't see the follow up. What I think you're talking about is back in 2014, he allegedly struck his pregnant girlfriend.
Yes. Felony domestic assault and battery by strangulation. I've got it right here from the sportingnews.com.
10 years ago.
Yeah. Well, I think this was actually when he was in college, that incident.
This one that I'm looking at is 2014. He allegedly struck his pregnant girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And it was domestic assault. Battery by strangulation.
What do you want to go back to next?
Just that last clip that you played.
The whole thing?
Well, just the last part of this, whatever portion you just played.
All right.
I know it's the same clip, but
that is me, and they're gonna start taking pictures, and I didn't want to create a scene at all.
All right, right there,
like,
stop it. Really... He didn't want to create a scene. How many times was he on speakerphone yelling "Drew, Drew, Drew"? Like the officers were like, you know, pummeling him, crying out for help for his agent. Like, again, dude, you want to act like a big tough guy? Well, then don't start whining and squealing like a little baby when the officers pull you out of your vehicle for not following their instructions. Okay, we can continue.
I really wanted to get the ticket and then just go on about my way and then just, you know, just have a great Sunday. You know what I'm saying? Because really, like, I really could have just kept going to the stadium, but I really just pulled to the side, you know, just chilling. Because I was that close to the stadium. Like, I was that close to, like, our entry level on, like, I was that close to the...
That's good right there. So you could have kept going. Well, then you would have been further breaking the law because I'm assuming the officers had their lights and siren lit up to have you pull over. And if you would have gone another six blocks or whatever it is or 1,000 yards into the stadium, you would have been in further defiance of what the officers were trying to accomplish, which is to pull you over. And then you're like, oh, I just want to have a good day. And oh, by the way, he looked pretty good on the field because I have the NFL Red Zone and I bet on the Dolphins Jaguars game. He was running up and down the field beautifully. Right. I didn't see any issue with that surgically repaired knee that he was crying about as he had to sit on the curb and be humanized.
By the way, the YouTube chatters are demanding that you drop him from your fantasy team.
I don't have him. I don't have him. He went third in my league, okay. But I don't have him. I've got Saquon Barkley. Okay.
Did you have him say, "I'm just being a black man. That's it. I'm just being a black man in America in a nice car." And the officer says, "We're dark too, brother. We're people of color too. Don't play like that special."
I didn't hear that.
Let me send you this one. I don't think that's in the body cam footage that I sent to you guys last night. It's about 3.5 minutes. I don't believe I heard that.
So this is another video. This is part of it. See, we're getting this in drips and drabs, and that's... So he has been in the news in a negative light for years in the past, even earlier this year. So what he's doing with his agent, obviously, is spin control.
There's a reason why Andy Reid traded him said, "Hey, Patrick, I know you're my franchise quarterback, but I got to move this guy out."
By the way, we have all the debate stuff. I'll get to that in one second. One more Tyreek Hill clip. This is cut 21. He says, if I wasn't Tyreek Hill, worst case scenario, we would have had a different article, whatever that means. Cut 21, go.
And I saw that you said if you weren't Tyreek Hill, that you feared this could have ended a lot differently. What do you think could have happened?
Yeah, like, so the crazy part about it is I hate talking like this, man, but because I have a kid fan base. But the reality of it is it's the truth. If I wasn't Tyreek Hill, worst case scenario, we would have had a different article, you know. Tyreek Hill, you know, got shot in front of Hard Rock Stadium, you know, or that's worst case scenario. Yeah, Tyreek Hill, you know, put in handcuffs and taken in and booked, you know. But it's crazy that, you know, me and my family had to go through this, you know. So
you just assume that if the officers knew you were not Tyreek Hill, the Dolphin wide receiver, but just random Tyreek Hill of Miami-Dade County, that they would have shot you over a traffic violation.
Yeah.
Really?
Apparently the Miami Dolphins have condemned the police.
Of course.
Of course they do. Because they have to. Because of peer pressure from the public and bozos on social media.
Yep, right. And the NFL.
This story is honestly, it's a big nothing burger. Tyreek Hill made mistakes. The officers, if I had to say, if you could, you know, revisionist history, I would clean up about 10% of what the officers said.
Yeah.
I don't think they physically did anything wrong.
Agreed.
But again, I'm not bothered by words. And, hey, maybe you should have had surgery on your ears. I actually think that's pretty funny. That's pretty clever and quick-witted. That guy can think quicker on his feet than Kamala Harris can. And by the way, I'm glad you brought up the ethnicity of the officers, and you mentioned that whole thing with the other. See if we got to be able to find that clip.
I sent it to you.
Oh, you did.
The police union said he was being uncooperative and that he was redirected to the ground while in handcuffs during his detention. But they said, to be clear, at no time was he ever under arrest. He was briefly detained for officer safety after driving in a manner in which he was putting himself and others in great danger.
All right, I'm going to...
Let me see if I can... guys, if this isn't... I'm just playing this now. If there's cursing, I'm going to have to dump out of it, but let's try it here.
I'm just being a black man, that's it. I'm just being black in America, bro. That's
we're,
all it is.
We're dark too, brother. We're people of color too. Don't play like that.
I'm just being a black...
Yeah. So he wants to play the race card, and these officers who are also not white are saying, "Yep, we're people of color too, bud. Don't bring that here."
Man.
Like again, I actually think that these are officers. Now they're patrol officers, but I guarantee you, they are not just routinely having to deal with low level traffic offenses. These are cops, I think, that deal with a lot of scumbags in a rough area. And I guarantee you, they're not putting up with any guff, all right? They're not looking for Picassos on the main line, okay?
Yeah, and I don't think any of the officers were white. I think they're two Hispanic, one African-American gentleman. So
There goes the race card. Yeah, they can't play that.
There's almost this sense that I get from Tyreek Hill that he wishes more would have happened. It's almost like we've created this rewarding of the victimhood culture. And I'm so over that. Again, follow the law. And then when you do break the law, Just yes, sir. No, sir. Okay. Follow their commands. That's all you have to do. And I do think that this officer is a little high strung. There's no question about it. But you know what? You have to be like that in certain municipalities and precincts that you patrol. Yeah. Okay. Not everybody is a cop in wealthy suburbia.
By the way, we were streaming earlier, and then the stream dropped out. So if you're watching right now, everybody watching, or if you're listening on the Odyssey app, just go over to YouTube and just hit the thumbs up button and hit the subscribe button so we can get back in people's algorithms. Because we had to stop it and start it, people are having trouble finding it, and it's just, you know, it's a whole thing. All right, let's get to the debate here. Harry Enten, this is cut 16. Harry Enten from CNN wonders if Kamala Harris messed up by not picking Shapiro, because we reported yesterday that the new CNN poll has Pennsylvania tied 47-47.
Yep.
So Harry Enten is wondering that if Kamala Harris loses Pennsylvania, is it because she didn't pick Josh Shapiro? Cut 16, go.
We see as a tightening race in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. All right, this is Harris versus Trump margin in the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. A month ago, when you looked at the polls, New York Times +4 Harris, +3 Quinnipiac for Harris, Franklin and Marshall +3 for Harris. But look at polls that have come out over the last week or so, and what do we see? We see a much tighter race. We see a tie in the CBS New YouGov poll. We see a tie in the CNN SSRS poll. And this, to me, is part of an emerging pattern, which is in a very pivotal state. What we saw was a small Harris lead, but within the margin of error, becoming a race that is way, way, way too close to call at this particular point, one that is even. Well, this was the great question when Kamala Harris was making her VP selection. Who should she select? And, of course, folks like myself thought that she should take Josh Shapiro, of course, as the governor of the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Why? Because his approval rating is 59%. And the bottom line is, if Kamala Harris loses in the state of Pennsylvania, and that is the tipping point state, as Mr. Berman put it, the state that put Donald Trump over the top in the Electoral College, there are going to be some real questions as to whether Kamala Harris should have chosen Josh Shapiro, given how popular he is.
Okay, so there's a couple of things to break down here. Number one, you got to separate national polling versus battleground state polling. And there's one of these polls, Greg, you sent us one of the polls and surveys last night that showed Kamala Harris has 68% of the Jewish vote, where Trump is sitting around 25%. I thought it would be higher, so I'm a little surprised that he's, quote, as low as he is at 25%. We know the highest Republican Jewish vote number of all time was Ronald Reagan with 40%. And I thought 40% was in play for Trump. And maybe that's an outlier. Maybe that's not the case. But it's interesting because Nate Silver says that Kamala Harris squandered a huge opportunity to pick up more votes by not selecting Shapiro. And that has certainly been my stance. I said all along, the moment she selected Tim Walz, that if Shapiro was not Jewish, Shapiro would have been the play. A, because he's more noticeable. He's got a more national profile than Tim Walz. And most importantly, he is in a state which is going to determine the election. I mean, Pennsylvania is worth 19 votes in the Electoral College. But now he has come out, Nate Silver, and said that no Democrat has taken the White House without winning Pennsylvania since 1948. That is 76 years. And he says that she blew that opportunity and could be devastating for her hopes. Although that survey that you shared with us shows she's doing just quite fine, yeah, which is really remarkable. And I know it's a single issue, and historically, Jewish voters are about 70% registered Democrats. But with everything that has transpired since October 7th and the position that this administration and the progressives have taken, I was saying I would love, if Democrats lose this fall, I would love the reason for that to be Jewish voters backing Trump. Again, nothing seems to break through the force field. It's like they've been neglecting the Jewish voter and backing the pro-Gaza Hamas supporter in this country, and it hasn't worked against them. That's the staggering development from my perspective.
You mentioned Nate Silver. He was on with Brett Baer last night because we said yesterday that he predicts that Trump had a 64% chance of winning the Electoral College in his latest forecast. Here's just a little of that interview. Cut 17, go.
Joining us tonight is Nate Silver, founder of 538 and author of the new book, On the Edge, The Art of Risking Everything. Nate, good evening. Great to see you.
Thank you.
Congrats on the book. I want to talk about that in just a minute. But we have some new polling out tonight that looks at a couple of things. One is the president's up 1 point, which is margin of error, but also extremely motivated to vote in the 2024 election. It's now tied 68-68 between Trump supporters and Democratic supporters. And best describes your presidential vote preference for my candidate against their opponent. And you see the breakdown for my candidate, 77 for Trump, 63 for Harris. Polls are a snapshot of time. You talk about this all the time. But where is the snapshot that you see right now in this race?
If you had the election tomorrow, which would be a strange thing to do, by the way, I think Harris would be a slight favorite. She's been ahead in most recent polling in the blue wall states, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, Georgia, North Carolina, Arizona, Nevada, all polling in the margin of error range. Look, this Fox News poll is pretty good for Trump. That'll help him a little bit when we update our model tomorrow. But you'd rather be Harris today. People should remember, though, two things. One, we have 3 more months to go. There will be more surprises. And two, the polls have been wrong before. In both of the last 2 general elections, they underestimated Trump.
Yeah, and what about that, the underestimating of Trump? Is it 2 points? Is it 3 points? Is it people going into the polling booth saying to their friends they haven't voted for Trump, but they really do?
You know, polling is difficult. The conceit is that you randomly dial people, but we don't really have like landlines anymore very much, right? People don't answer calls from strangers very much. So there's a lot of modeling, and sometimes models go wrong. You know, in 2022, there was not a Republican overperformance, a slight D1 in some of the Senate races instead. So our view is that the polling bias is unpredictable, but it could go in either direction, right? If Pennsylvania is, you know, Harris plus 2 on election day, it could be Trump wins by 2 or Harris wins by 6, etc.
All right, so a couple of things on the odds and probability front. So, Silver has Kamala Harris as a 63% favorite to win the debate tonight, for whatever that's worth, however you arrive at the conclusion of who wins the debate. But as I said yesterday, also, he still has Trump as an 87% favorite to remain the favorite to win the election on November 5th. What I have found interesting about Nate Silver's polling, and of course, or his forecasting, because it's not technically polling, and I don't know how he arrives at his conclusions. He is, I mean, you talk about number nerds and metric honks. I mean, this guy, he goes deeper than anybody humanly possibly can with his, you know, algorithms and his formulas and statistics. I don't know how he's got Trump at 64% likely to win the election. There's nothing in any of the polls on a state-by-state battleground level or a national level that would imply Trump is almost a 2-to-1 favorite. And I know everybody's eating it up on social media. I've seen it for 4 or 5 days. You know, when Alan Lichtman comes out and says, I've got Kamala winning the election, it's a garbage take, and you're a Democrat hack. Nate Silver says Trump's 2-to-1 favorite, and everybody's running around going, oh, it's going to be Trump in a landslide, it's going to be Trump in a landslide. I don't know how you arrive at 64, and I'm pretty good with numbers. There's no way I would ever have Trump installed as a 2-to-1 favorite. I would say right now it's... If I'm being generic, it's a coin flip. If I had to give a number, I would say it's 2 to 3 points in one direction or the other. I would have Trump 52-53%, Kamala 51-52%. I don't know how he gets 64%. I would love to actually... That's a guy I would actually like to have on the show. I don't like doing a lot of interviews and doing deep dives, but that's a guy I would love to talk to and be like, so walk us through, without having my audience's head explode, how you arrive at that. I would love to know that.
Yeah. We've heard a lot of ads, including on this radio station, about Project 2025, right?
Oh, it's the end of the world. Here we go.
So the former director of this Project 2025 is a guy by the name of Paul Danz. He was on with Caitlin Collins last night explaining the Trump link. Or she was trying to tie him to this, I think.
Yes.
This is Cut 18. Kirk, go.
As you know, given what we've seen from the conventions, it's almost inevitable that this will be brought up on the debate stage tomorrow night. Are you worried that your work could be a liability for Trump when he's on stage up there tomorrow?
No, not at all. And thank you for having me, Caitlin. Look, President Trump's the greatest debater, bar none, of our time. And, you know, the breaking news is Trump has nothing to do with Project 2025. Sure, a lot of us have worked in the admin and came together, but this started long before he even announced for president. It was really a coming together of the conservative movement. And I think that's what's been so threatening to the left. You know, our side's always been prone to infighting. And what we were able to do here was bring together 110 groups and really lay out a common sense plan. You know, not everyone agrees in what's in that book, but the book's only actually part of the plan. And what we did was really invite people from all over the country to get back into their government.
Well, I think that's why, you know, I was reading through it again in recent days when people say Trump has nothing to do with it. I mean, you worked as the deputy chief of staff at the Office of, Personnel Management, a pretty significant office. Six of his former cabinet secretaries helped collaborate or write on it. I mean, you look at it and it's full of names that people would recognize. Chris Miller, Peter Navarro, Johnny McEntee. And so some people say, okay, well, 140 of his staffers worked on it. How can you say that he has nothing to do with it?
Well, he personally didn't have anything to do with it. Certainly a lot of folks, you know, worked on it, came out of the Trump administration. But that's natural for any Republican administration. You're going to have the carryover for the next one. And in this case, it's conservative. But look, those ideas were open to Joe Biden and to implement if he wants to. And they actually are.
It's very,
a funny thing.
It is.
So it's so infuriating on, two fronts. Number one, Trump has repeatedly said that he has nothing to do with Project 2025. That's number one. And he said it, I don't know how many times, and I don't know how many more times he has to keep saying it. Number two, I mean, he has laid out his 20-point platform. You can see it. It's legitimately 20 bullet points of, hey, this is what my 2024 election campaign is about. These are the 20 things I want to implement between 25 and 28 if I get elected. And as far as these connections to Trump, whether it's six to eight people, 140 of this or whatever, I mean, I'm affiliated with and I have loose connections to a bazillion people as well. Just because they do something in their professional life does not automatically link me to them wholeheartedly, absolutely 100%. But as we know, Dawn, like this is one of these things where, you know, if Trump's name is remotely affiliated with anything, it's all his, right? Like Caitlin Collins, the ultimate fact checker, should be fact checking herself right now.
Oh, I know. Here's the thing. I think for many of us, we just look at this tonight and think this is an unbelievable place that we find ourselves in this evening, that Kamala Harris is being portrayed suddenly now as if like a magic genie appeared and poof, we have this very credible individual who's fabulous and perfect, and we're not supposed to remember or be unburdened by the past, that Kamala Harris has been a disaster. She's the current vice president of the United States of America. And yet the media treats her as if she's this brand new darling who, by the way, they're apparently just forgetting and having amnesia that they ever reported on her in negative ways.
Mm-hmm. I've got her campaign website. Let me actually read this before we continue with any of these policies. Because, again, I said in the big take this morning, Kamala Harris and the Democrats are more concerned about defining Trump than defining what or who Kamala Harris is or about. Yesterday, after 50 days, her website finally put up a policy page. And I'm going to read this directly for you. Vice President Kamala Harris finally added policies to her campaign website for the first time since Joe Biden dropped out of the race 50 days ago. The website breaks Harris and her vice president running mate, Governor Tim Walz of Minnesota's policy proposals into four sections. Number one, build an opportunity economy and lower costs for families. Number two, safeguard our fundamental freedoms. Number three, ensure safety and justice for all. And number four, keep America safe, secure, and prosperous. I got to tell you, that really has a Trump theme to it, does it not? reminds me of peace and prosperity. Harris's website includes a promise to cut taxes for middle-class families by ensuring no one earning less than $400,000 a year will pay more in taxes. So that's a Joe Biden claim. She also says she will ensure the wealthiest Americans and largest corporations pay their fair share. That's Joe Biden again, right? Top down, bottom up, middle out, that whole charade that Joe spouted for 4 years. And then she also goes into her 28% tax proposal on long-term capital gains, which we gave you last week, that Mark Cuban says will kill the stock market. And California Democrat Ro Khanna has said will force entrepreneurs to sell their businesses. So really, all she did yesterday was take what she has said that has been destroyed by her own party, paste it to the website, and it's really a combination of a copy and paste of Joe's failed policies and the themes that Trump uses, but she claims that she's not Trump. And we know she's not Trump because she's a radical progressive. So they finally got the website up and running, but it's more of the same.
Chris Saliza, who I believe used to work for the Washington Post, I don't know who he works for now, he predicts for the debate tonight, Harris will be nervous in the debate with Trump. You said this earlier.
I do. I think that quiet setting will make her shake a little bit.
Because, look, he's the greatest debater we've ever seen.
He's the master debater,
no doubt. In politics. He's very good at it. And she's proven in every debate I've seen her in, and unless it was against Mike Pence, who kind of just, you know, okay, I'll be subservient to you, whatever you want. Like, unless it was Mike Pence.
God,
like,
he's so low energy.
He got, you know, she got destroyed in every debate she's at. So, like, her track record isn't great. His is. Chris Saliza, cut five, go.
Tara Reid, not that Tara Reid. How do you think Kamala will fare in the debate? My guess is we'll be here next week talking about Kamala fumbling the debate. I don't know, is the answer. Look, she's not been on this big a stage before, which honestly very few people have. Though I think it's important to note, I talked about this on TV, humble brag, recently. Donald Trump has been in, this will be his seventh general election presidential debate. Seventh. That's more than anyone in history. So I think there is a level of kind of comfort there for him. And she's never been in a presidential debate before. She's been in a vice presidential debate, but never a presidential debate. So I do think she is going to probably be a little bit more nervous. I think she has more riding on it. I don't think Trump's numbers. Look, I've said this before. Trump has a very high ceiling in terms of voter support, like 45%, and a very high floor in terms of voter support and a very low ceiling. He basically moves between 46 and 48% of the vote.
Yep.
He doesn't go to 52 or 51. He doesn't go to 40. So I don't know how his numbers move. I think she has potentially more movement there. I don't think she'll fumble it, though.
I agree, especially on the Trump perspective. I mean, he is pretty much in this 2 to 3 point range, depending on the day, what he says, what his opponent says, what the media concocts, what a prosecutor decides to charge him with. Yeah, it's 45, it's 47, it's 48. But Kamala Harris can absolutely crash and burn tonight. But here's the thing. The bar is so low.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to have, and I really do believe, and I know we all tend to forget about things within 9 seconds and move on to the next thing. That's the society we live in.
The hell you say, Nick Cale.
Yeah. But there's going to be, you know, a lot of people that still do recall just how awful Joe was on June 27th. So as long as she's north of that, it's technically a de facto win for her. If she can come off as a cognizant human being, that would probably be enough for some hack left-wing writer to say, Kamala stood her ground. She held her own against the big bad Trumpster. And that's pretty embarrassing that that's where our standard is for the highest office in the world.
You know, there will be a pro-Palestinian rally outside the Constitution Center this evening.
Oh, boy.
And I wonder if that will influence the ABC moderators and David Muir to ask a question about it, which that, to me, would be a fair game question.
Oh, for sure.
But I know that there are pro-choice, if you want to call it, there are abortion protesters, rally people, whatever you want to say, and that are pro-choice, pro-life, will be out there as well. And then they've said some mummers could be joining an event organized by Trump campaign volunteers to welcome the former president's motorcade to the National Constitution Center. Will any of the protesters or people who are rallying outside influence the questioning, I wonder, by the ABC hosts when they get inside?
Look, if you're the moderators for this debate, Lindsay, whatever her last name is, Adams, I think it is, and David Muir, you can't leave any major topic not brought up. I mean, whether it's obviously the economy, immigration, wars, the Middle East, energy, fracking, for sure. Fracking has to be in there. I mean, we're in Pennsylvania, after all. You know, abortion will be brought up. Kamala is going to say, if elected, Donald Trump will institute a national ban, and Trump's going to counter by saying, we brought it back to the states, which is where it needs to be. But you're right. I mean, this is probably the only debate we get. So I don't know what the time constraints are on it from a network standpoint, what they've told both parties. But if this thing needs to go 2.5 hours to get through every issue, because there's at least, I could probably come up with, in the next commercial, 12 to 15 questions that I would ask both sides. Let's have it. If this takes 3.5 hours, then so be it, because this might be the only crack.
This is cut 10. Dawn's gal, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, was on ABC this week on Sunday discussing the debate between Trump and Kamala. And this is what she said. This is cut 10. Go.
On the debate, what do you think the stakes are? How important is this for former President Trump?
Well, I think it's actually more important for Vice President Harris, somebody who doesn't speak to the media, doesn't take questions. In fact, at the end of this interview, John, I will have done more interviews during this election cycle than she has since becoming the Democrat nominee for president. It is absurd that she does not take questions from the press, from the American people. And so I think this is actually a much more important night for her, because it's so rare that we hear from her, that we hear her take questions, or that we know anything that she actually stands for.
But what's more absurd than all of this, because this has been their strategy, and even though some of the mainstream media have called them out for it, it seemingly hasn't really impacted them a ton in the polls. Is the honeymoon over? Yes. Has she kind of flattened out? Yes. I mean, you knew it wouldn't be a 105-day honeymoon. But what's crazier about all of this is that there are people out there that are so uninformed or uneducated or unwilling to even hold her feet. I mean, there's legitimately people out there that'll say, I don't care that she hasn't done interviews. I don't care that she hasn't shared her policies. I'm voting for her because she's not Trump. And that is the issue at hand here. That's what this election is. This election is not about issues. If it was about issues, Trump would be at 64% to win the election, in my opinion. But it's not about issues. It's about the most petty stuff. And that's the crazy part in this country, that there are people that will vote for her. It's like I gave the analogy before. You show up at a car dealership and you ask 6 to 8 questions to the sales rep, and the sales rep does not give you the answer to any of those questions. What the price is, what the fuel is, what the safety is, what features it has, what the warranty is, what's the terms of the lease or the purchase. And you say, oh, it's okay, I'll take it. I'll buy it. I mean, if you're a sales rep, you're like, okay, here's the paperwork. Let's get this filled out.
We are hours from the debate. By the way, you can hear it all right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT tonight, starting at 9 o'clock, plus the analysis afterwards. Dom, I believe, will be in the spin room, and Walter Sterling, our new live and local show from 9 to midnight, will have all the we'll take your calls afterwards. But how much will the economy, to your point, Nikhil, play in this? How much is that affecting votes? Well, CNN went to swing states, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan, to see how much of a factor is the economy in their vote. This is their results. This is cut 12. Phil, go.
What is clear, top of mind for voters in this election, is the economy, and specifically in these states, roughly 8 in 10, just a shade over 8 in 10, say that the economy is a major issue in deciding their vote. Inflation also continues to be a major concern. Voters clearly feeling uneasy. A majority, more than a quarter of registered voters in each of these three states, say that their income is not keeping up with inflation. You can imagine both candidates will be asked about this tomorrow night. Brianna?
Yeah, those are...
Again, pretty remarkable that Trump, who is the better option on the economy, can sit here and look at the Keystone State, Wisconsin, Michigan, these blue wall Big Ten states, whatever you want to call them. And, you know, 8 out of 10 voters are like, oh, yeah, major issue. Yet when you look at the polling, it's 51-49, 50-50. Again, if it was about the issues, Trump in a landslide. She can't match Trump on policy. She can't match him issue to issue.
That's why the media's not reporting on the policy.
Yep, you're right. What a time to be alive. 855-839-1210. We'll come back, get to a Dawn Stensland Big Three, and then we've got more to get to in the world of this debate. The eight realities of our 50-50 election. We'll get to that as we kick off the 9 o'clock hour. Kale and Company back after this on Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
Stunning summertime weather is still here for at least about 10, 11 days. There's no time like the present to get back out on the roads. And my friends at Piazza Premium Automobiles, they're going to help you find that luxury vehicle that you've been eyeing. Piazza has thousands of new and certified pre-owned vehicles from some of the most beautiful, powerful brands on our roadways right now, such as Mercedes-Benz, Land Rover, Jaguar, Maserati, BMW, Porsche, Alfa Romeo, and more. Just visit them, piazzapremiumautomobiles.com. Stop by one of their many dealers across Pennsylvania, Delaware, or New Jersey. Piazza, P-I-A-Z-Z-A, premiumautomobiles.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and the free Odyssey app.
Very interesting column breaking down the state of our political system from Axios. I want to go through these a little bit. The eight realities of our 50-50 election. But I do want to share this story. And, you know, we always hear about the crime in Philadelphia when Dawn gives us the news at 6:05 and 7:05 and subsequently at times, you know, in the big takes as well. But I thought it was pretty amazing. I just saw this story. Now, this story is from about 4 days ago, but I just saw it pop up on my timeline yesterday from the New York Times. We talked a lot about the Eagles and the Packers game being played in Brazil. The fact that Brazil has banned X, they're limiting free speech, and of course, you know, the crime in that country, and it's not safe. And we played Jadarius Slay's clip, and I know, Dawn, you get into a lot of crime stuff. Dom certainly talks about stuff at a local level with crime in the city, and, you know, maybe this is another conversation for a day where we can break it down even further with, you know, what job Sherelle Parker has done so far in her 9 months. But the New York Times writes this story with the headline being, Eagles players feared crime in Brazil. Have they considered Philadelphia? And they write the following. Last year, forgive me if I butcher the city, is it Sao Paulo? Sao Paulo, Brazil?
Mm-hmm. Sao Paulo, yeah.
Sao Paulo? Not to be confused with Sao Paulo Antonio from ESPN. But last year, Sao Paulo registered 4.2 murders per 100,000 people. So let me repeat that again. That was the city where the Eagles and Packers played on Friday night. 4.2 murders for every 100,000 people. It's actually one of the lowest rates in Brazil. Meanwhile, in Philadelphia, the murder rate was 6 times higher at 26.1 per 100,000 people, even surpassing the murder rate across Brazil nationwide at 23.1 per 100,000 people. That is according to the, quote, Homicide Monitor, a database of government statistics from the Igarapé Institute, a research institute that studies security. And it's not just in Philadelphia, they say. Most cities with NFL teams all have higher murder rates than where the NFL played Friday night on that soccer pitch in Brazil, and some much higher. Sao Paulo had less than a third of the murders per capita of the following NFL cities, ranging from highest to lowest, with New Orleans, where the Saints play in Louisiana, Baltimore, the Ravens in Maryland, the Cleveland Browns in Ohio, Detroit Lions, Washington Commanders, Kansas City Chiefs, Cincinnati Bengals, Atlanta Falcons, Indianapolis, Chicago, Minneapolis, Dallas, Buffalo, Houston, Nashville, and Jacksonville. I had no idea that that was the reality of the murder rates comparing Brazil. I mean, obviously, I'm aware of what's going on here in Philadelphia. But if you look at just those registered metrics. And again, who knows what the real number is. But on the record, it looks like Philadelphia about six times more dangerous than Brazil, which I found interesting. And I bring this up because I figured I would ask you, Dawn. I mean, you talk a lot about Sherelle Parker, local policies. At what point, and forget the metrics for a moment, but have we reached the point where we can now start critiquing and judging the job that Sherelle has done? Do you need to wait for one full year? I know we have seen some numbers that have come out saying that, you know, this type of crime or that type of crime is down, but retail crime and theft is up. So I'm not sure what you make of that as somebody that kind of pays attention to this on a local level. I didn't realize Brazil was significantly safer than Philadelphia.
I don't know that it is. I question. So I'm looking. Wikipedia says their murder rate is way down this year, but in 2022, just in Sao Paulo, they had more than 3,000 homicides.
Oh, and we only had what last year was it 500 roughly?
So it's, I mean, it's tragic if it's one or if it's hundreds, sure, or if it's thousands. Sure. But I also question the reporting in some of these other countries. I don't know how all that works, but I am not going to buy that they're safer than here. That's just my my feeling is that maybe there's a new regime and they're not reporting, but they do say it's much. They have gone down, but my God, they're down from 3,000.
Right.
Holy moly!
Well, and we know El Salvador has gotten much safer because they've let everybody out of their country and they've come across our southern border here. So, figured that was an interesting story. We would pass it along. It was written on September 6th in the New York Times. If you want to take a gander for yourself, 855-839-1210. We'll come back, get a big three, and then the eight realities of our election here on November 5th. Back after this, Kale and Company.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.